What's up, Edge Church? How we doing? Welcome to the Swagger Wagon. Life happens in the Swagger Wagon, doesn't it? That's why we've called this entire series the Swagger Wagon, because that's where life happens. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commands I give you today are to be on your heart and impress them on your children, and talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. In the 21st century, we would say when you're in the Swagger Wagon. When you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on the foreheads, write them on the door frames of your house and of your gates. It's interesting, the scripture is challenging us to make God the center of the home. God should be the center of the family and the home. That really is the foundation of everything that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks with the Swagger Wagon, how the Lord can be the central focus of all that we do in the home, because that's where life happens, in the Swagger Wagon. And you may be thinking today, well, Ryan, I don't have any children. I don't know if this relates to me. You know what? You may have children sometime in the future. You may be surprised, right? Yeah, I mean, you never know. You may have some kids. You may decide to get married. You may have children. Others of us may think, well, you know, my kids have kind of moved on and, you know, we don't have kids anymore. But you know what? You never stop being a parent. You know, my 91-year-old grandmother is still my grandmother. And she's still the mom to my mother, who's in her late 60s now. You never get to the point where you don't need your parents, you don't need your family, right? We never get to that point. So it's important to talk about how God can be the center of all of our family experiences. And most people that are probably here today would say, yeah, I want God to be the center of the family. It's not so much a question of is that important? The question may be, but how does that work, right? How do I do that? I know some of us in this room, you're a new follower of Jesus, and maybe you didn't grow up in a home where the Bible and Jesus Christ were necessarily talked about. And so now you're trying to raise children, and you're trying to give them something different than what you had as a child. And so it's kind of some new territory. So this series is going to be a great opportunity for us to grow and to stretch and to learn some of the fantastic things that the Bible has to say to us about how we can help kids hit their sweet spot. Now, the Bible tells us here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that the home is the center place of spiritual development for the church. You know, a lot of times when we want to see our kids grow in an area, the first question we ask is, where are the professionals, right? We want our kids to learn to read and write. We take them to school. We want our kids to learn to play piano. We find a music teacher. We want our kids to learn a certain skill or a certain craft. We find somebody that knows what they're doing. You know, my daughter wanted to take ballet lessons this summer. And I didn't go put on a leotard, you know. I went and found a professional dance teacher to help my daughter do ballet. And sometimes we can have the same mentality when it comes to our spiritual development of our children. You know, I take my kids to church. I let the trained professionals do that. And then, you know, we do the other stuff. But it's interesting, when the Bible speaks of the family, it speaks of it in the opposite of what we might normally think. And it really makes sense. In fact, experts tell us this, that 83% of a kid's time is spent in the home. Only 1% of the time is spent in church. If you're a Christian kid and you go to church, you spend about 1% of your time in church. You only spend 16% of your time in the school, 83% of the time in the home. So wouldn't it be the most logical place to develop spiritual champions for Christ in the family, in the home? That just makes sense, right? So what we need is not just to drop off our kids to the trained professionals. What we need to do as parents is to learn, what can we do to raise godly kids? Because that's the challenge. What can we do as a mom or as a dad to help that happen? And God holds parents accountable. And so that's why it's so important. The church is a supportive place, but it is not the primary place, okay? I hope today you don't think that if you can just drop your kids off to their Bible class for 1 hour on Sunday morning, that they're going to get everything they need to become a mature young woman or young man in the Lord. It takes more than that. And what we need is some fantastic instruction today from the Word of God to help us succeed as parents and to help our kids hit the sweet spot of spiritual maturity and of growth. Now, parenting is so difficult. I mean, it is a challenge. And I'm not an expert on parenting. I'm a pilgrim on the journey, if you will. I'm learning, I'm growing like you are. Parenting is that thing that you never get it all figured out. Once you think that you get it figured out with the kids, then they grow and they change, right? I know there's been some stages with my kids. I thought, oh, I got this thing licked. I got preschool under my thumb. Know exactly what to do. What happens? The kids get bigger and then they start changing, right? And then all those old tricks, they don't work anymore. So you got to reinvent yourself. You got to evolve as a parent. It's challenging. And you don't get any breaks from being a parent. You know, it's the kind of thing that you don't, like, you can take time off of work or you can take time off of some things. You don't take time off of being a parent. You're always a parent. If you're a parent, you're always on. And so it's challenging. And we live in a world that is increasingly hostile to Christian values and ideologies. And that's another challenge with parenting. So you've got your hands full. If you're a parent, you've got an amazing challenge. But here's the great thing. While being a parent is challenging, it is not impossible. And God has some great things to say to us today about it. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 22, 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And then the Amplified version says this, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're going to focus on this text primarily this morning. And the Bible begins by telling us that we should develop our child's spiritual swagger. We should develop our kids' spiritual swagger. What does that mean? That means that we're developing their confidence in the Lord. When you have confidence, you have swagger. So we all want our kids to have spiritual swagger for the Lord, confidence in the Lord. And you notice that word train, you ought to underline that word, circle that word, train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, you have to develop that child. You can't just tell them one time, you know, do this or do that, but it's got to be developed over a period of time. Training requires effort and diligence and strategy and focus. And oftentimes when we're training children, we can fall into one of two categories. We can fall into the authoritarian camp. I'm going to be really hard on my kids. I'm going to bring kind of the drill sergeant mentality. And, you know, I'm going to be tough and rough and hard and all that. And that's a challenge. And then others of us, we may not struggle with the authoritarian. We may be too permissive. You know, we hate to discipline the kids and we just despise any conflict and we want to just, you know, love everybody and be friends to our kids and all that. And that's important. But listen, if we're too much over here or we're too much over here, the training will stall out. We won't be able to develop the character, the Christian character, the discipline, the focus that our kids need. So we've got to be really right down the middle. We've got to be a little bit here and a little bit here, and really more right here in the middle. I had a 17-year-old tell me a couple of years ago, my parents let me do whatever I want to do, and I feel like that they don't love me. Now, I don't hear a lot of teenagers saying, I wish that my parents had more boundaries in my life, you know? That's probably not the normal thing that teenagers say. But it is interesting that kids can have a sense of security and can feel the love of the parents by the way the parents protect and put boundaries around the kid's life. It's so important. So important. So we ought to train up a child. Children don't develop by chance. They are taught. And a lot of times we think teaching or telling is training. If I tell you this, then I've trained you. But there's a big difference between telling and training. Training involves modeling. When you model something for a child, when you set the example, you set the tone as a parent, you are modeling that. The easiest way to give instruction to our kids is to tell them stuff. Do this, do that. It takes no time, it takes no energy, it takes no strategy. Unfortunately, kids will follow more of what we do than what we say. Have you known that to be true? fact, my mom used to tell me, do as I say, not as I do. That was one of her favorite sayings, you know. And that's a challenge for us sometimes, because many times we want to just tell our kids, but telling is not training. Telling may be a small part of it, but our example is so important. So the example that we set for the children, our kids will turn out to be much more like us than we probably realize. And we're probably a lot more like our parents than we care to acknowledge many times as well. I walked into my kids' bathroom a couple of weeks ago to utter shock and awe. My 4 and 6-year-old were cleaning their bathroom. My 4-year-old was sitting on the sink. She was scrubbing the sinks. And man, they looked really good. I was impressed. And my 6-year-old had the potty brush, and he was over there scrubbing the commode. And I thought, man, what is going on? Is everybody feeling okay? First of all, I want to make sure. What is going on? I said, Zane, what are you doing? He says, well, Mom gives us allowance for cleaning our bathrooms. And they did a great job. And I said, well, how much does she give you? And he said, well, I don't know, but she just puts coins in our little bank, and then we go to the store and buy stuff. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you did such a good job here, I will give you a whole dollar if you will clean my potty. Oh, he was excited. He was fired up. It's like, you bet, Daddy. He goes in there, cleans it, does a great job. Now, if you're looking for some cheap maid service, you may want to consider my kids. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. I'm not sure how long this will last, but right now it's working really good at the Heller household, you know? We're loving life. Kids are cleaning. They're doing a great job. And I said to my wife, I said, how did you get them to do that? Because that's crazy. How do little kids clean stuff? They're supposed to mess things up, not to clean. She said, Ryan, I trained them. I showed them what to do. And I thought, you know what? If kids can clean commodes and if kids can clean sinks, why can they not serve God? It's all about what we train our kids to do. And our kids can probably do some things that we don't even think are possible because they have been trained. And our kids model what we do. Several years ago, I was at the mall and I went into the men's restroom. My little boy was about 2.5 at the time. And I said, don't touch anything. The men's restroom is the nastiest place on the planet. You stand in the middle of the room and don't touch anything. So I looked around, and he was doing really well, you know, standing right there kind of like this in the middle of the men's bathroom. I went over to wash my hands, and guess what? I looked over. Zane was washing his hands too, but do you know where he was washing them? It was an unflushed urinal. That's pretty nasty, isn't it? He was like, Daddy's got his sink, I've got mine. Here's the preschool sink right here. He was like, wash him. I didn't know what to do. I started to call 911, you know? It was really bad. Put on one of those suits, you know, to try and clean him up, clean up the situation, freaking me out. What was he doing? He was doing exactly what I was doing. He was just doing it at a little different place, but kids follow the example of parents. Kids will do what we do. As a parent, one of the greatest questions we can ask ourselves is the lifestyle that I am living, is it what I want my kids to live? Am I setting the tone? And am I setting the example? Am I living the life that I want my children to follow and to live accordingly? It's a great question. Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I love that verse because it says, first of all, me, we have to decide for ourselves, mamas and daddies, me, I'm going to serve the Lord, me and then my household. So we decide for our house, our household will follow what we do, our household will do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that ought to be the desire of every Christian parent right there, is to serve the Lord. And when a child sees the right speech and attitude and behaviors, they will follow. And habits are easy to form, but they are so hard to break. They are so hard to break. So are we setting the tone? Now, training takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ." So every parent should want their kids to accept Jesus Christ. But Paul said to Timothy, "You were taught as a little kid. You were taught as a little child. You were trained. You know, you were discipled. You received spiritual formation in the home. And then that brought you to the point where Jesus Christ became the center of your life." I love Colossians 3:21 as well. It says, "Fathers, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will become discouraged and quit trying." So it requires a great example. But listen, parents are not perfect. And when you find yourself making mistakes, just apologize to your kids. Admit that. You can take a bad situation and make it good by being honest, by apologizing if you say or do something wrong. That's a good thing. There are no perfect parents. There's no perfect parents here. But hopefully we learn today from the Word of God where it says, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will become discouraged and quit trying. In other words, if you're too hard on them, you're too difficult on them. Now, the Bible says children should honor their parents. But the Bible also says, what? Fathers, don't exacerbate your children. Don't provoke your children. And both are true. It's kind of like when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your husbands. If you try to have one without the other, the whole thing gets out of whack. It takes both and. In the home, we need kids honoring parents, and we need parents not agitating kids. Both of these things are important. And discipline is a huge part of this. Many times we think about discipline, we think about what we do to our kids, but discipline is not what we do to our kids, it's what we do for our kids. So when we begin to teach them and instruct them and correct them and redirect them. And one of our kids got in trouble this last week and said, "Mommy, I'm a bad kid." And Gina replied, "You're not a bad kid. You just made a bad choice. You just made a bad choice. And next time, you need to make a better choice. And you will." And we're working with our child to help them understand they're not a bad kid because they make a bad choice. There's a difference there. But we need to call those things out. We need to direct our kids. And one of the ways we love to train our kids is to talk to them about the Bible. You know, we connect the Bible to everyday life the best that we can, as often as we can. And this is most days. Our kids will bring something up at school, or they have a question, or they have a problem, and we'll relate it to the Bible. So they want to make new friends at school, we'll share a Bible verse about that. You know, a kid got in trouble at school, all right, well, we need to show respect to our teachers, you know. And we're connecting the Word of God to the everyday life. Sometimes we don't always have all the Bible verses memorized. Sometimes we have to go look them up. But then we'll come back and we'll talk to them and we'll help them understand that the Bible connects to everyday life. We talk to them about that. We read a little devotional before dinner that has a little scripture verse and then a thought for the day, and then we discuss that. And then something that my wife has been really great at, she's so good at helping our kids. After we'll have a little devotion or Bible reading time or whatever, then our kids will go and get a little notebook, and they will draw pictures of what we just talked about. So my daughter in particular, this is great for her. She's real artistic. We'll talk about God's love for us. So she'll draw a picture of God like as a father, and she's sitting in the father's lap and reading a book, and that'll be about God's love. And she draws stick figures and all that, and it's really cute. But she's thinking about God's love. And kids are all different. You know, I wish that we could put all kids into one template and we could raise children, you know, exactly the same way because they're all so unique and different. What's working well for my kids may be different for your kids, and what you do to help bring about spiritual maturity may be different from what somebody else does, but the end goal is important, and that is that kids follow Jesus Christ. So that's the end goal. Now, how do we do that? We discover our child's path. We discover our child's path. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And the Hebrew word, in the way he should go, means according to his individual bent. In other words, all kids are not the same. Kids are different. Kids are unique. Kids are special. We've been teaching our daughter about what it means to invite Jesus Christ into her life. And so she said at the dinner table the other night, she said, "Mommy, I need an x-ray." And Gina said, "Why do you need an x-ray?" And she said, "Well, I need an x-ray because I need to see if Jesus is in my heart." She's wanting to get that checked out, you know, wanting to see if he was there. Got to get the x-ray. And some kids are just different, man. They're just different. They're funny. They say different things, don't they? And my daughter is real assertive. You know, she'll tell you exactly what she thinks or whatever she's thinking. It's really cute. It's fun. But we ought to discover our child's path. Every kid has their own swag. They have their own mold. They have their own bent. And the word way means path or road. So every kid has a unique personality, unique disposition, weaknesses, likes, and dislikes. We see this exemplified in the book of Genesis. Jacob and Esau are the two brothers, and they're actually twin brothers born in the book of Genesis, and they're total opposites. Jacob is the mother's favorite. Esau is the father's favorite. And Jacob likes to cook around the house. He's different from his brother. Esau likes to go out and hunt wild game. And we know that Jacob and Esau, they were born minutes apart, and they're totally different. Esau's got one of those Duck Dynasty type beards, you know. Jacob is like clean shaven. Jacob, he loves the Home and Garden Channel. You know what I'm saying? He loves Property Brothers. He loves watching shows like that. He wears skinny jeans, you know, Jacob. On the other hand, you got Esau, who's the other brother. He loves Home Depot, Gander Mountain, Bass Pro Shop, you know, and he watches the Outdoor Network. I mean, they're just totally different individuals. And some of you can relate to that in your own family. You know, you look around, you see a sibling or you have kids like this, and they're just totally different. Totally different. My brother and I, totally different. No kidding. My brother is a very gifted musician. He has a master's degree in piano performance. He teaches lessons. He performs. The guy's an amazing musician. He can play songs he doesn't even know on the piano. I'm not kidding. If people put in a request at a party or something, they can hum it and he'll just start playing it. It's truly amazing. It's a gift. It totally is. And I remember as a kid, my parents were determined that I was going to be a pianist. And so I would practice 30 minutes a day. My parents really pushed me on that. Okay, I'm practicing. Hated every minute of it. I would go to the lesson, and my teacher would say, "Ryan, you have to practice. What's wrong with you? You're not learning your music." My brother, no kidding, he would practice 15 minutes before the lesson, before we're about to leave. Not practice all week long, 15 minutes. He would walk into the lesson. He would bust out the song. The teacher would say, "Sean, you have worked so hard this week. You are so diligent. I wish your brother would practice like you." And my parents told me, they said, "Ryan, if you quit piano lessons, you will regret it the rest of your life. The greatest day of my life was the day that I did not have to go to piano lessons." I hated piano lessons. Could not stand that. It was horrible. Now, I was the athlete. I like to play sports. My brother was the artist. We had bedrooms right next to each other, same mom and dad, same home, totally different kids. Listen, if you're going to succeed to raise godly kids, you got to understand how your kids wired. You got to understand their temperament. You got to understand how they grow and how they learn and how to discipline them and how to inspire them. Motivating kids is different. You know, what motivates my little boy is not what motivates my little girl. It's all different. So a great parent understands their child and sees how to get that ball across the goal line, understanding who they are, because we can't use the same approach. We can't compare kids. You know, comparing Jacob to Esau or comparing me to my brother, it just doesn't work because they're just all different. It's just not the same. So that's the problem. And we love our children equally, but we parent them differently. We parent them differently. The Bible goes on and it says in the latter part of this verse, "And when he is old, he will not depart from it." In other words, we should set your child up for spiritual success. And this is a very popular verse. It's perhaps one of the more misunderstood verses in the Bible. A lot of parents read this verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. A lot of parents read that verse, and then they look at their kids when they grow up, and they feel a sense of guilt and condemnation. Did you know that? Parents feel like, man, I didn't do enough. I didn't do what is right. It's interesting to note there is a difference between a proverb and a promise in the Bible. There are promises in the Bible that are always true, 100% of the time. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's a promise. On the other hand, there are proverbs. Proverbs, like what we're reading here in Proverbs 22:6, are statements that are generally true most of the time. Okay? Generally true most of the time. Proverbs 16:7 is a great example of this. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemies live at peace with him. And the question is, well, was Jesus pleasing to the Lord? Well, of course he was. Were his enemies at peace with him? No, they crucified him. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible's saying this is a proverb. When you walk with God, even people that oppose you many times will respect you. Does that mean that you will always have the respect of everybody all the time? Of course not. Proverbs 22:6. If you raise your kids in the ways of the Lord, is that a 100% guarantee that your kids are going to all grow up to be missionaries? No. Kids have to make their own decisions. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying most of the time, generally speaking, when we raise kids to love the Lord, the outcome will be that they will not turn away from it. So if you raise your kids in the ways of the Lord and you've done a great job with that and your kids decide to go off in some other direction, you should not feel guilty about that. You shouldn't feel bad about that. You do what you can. You do what you can as a parent. You lead them. You direct them. You encourage them. I hope you'll have your kids at church and you'll talk to kids about the Lord. I hope you'll do all that. But listen, at the end of the day, kids have to make their own choices. Even small children have to start making some of their own choices. And we can't make our kids do everything that we wish that we could. So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Cain and Abel is another great example of this. Adam and Eve had a couple of sons, and one son was Cain and one was Abel. Abel brought an offering to the Lord. Abel had a real bent towards worshiping the Lord. He was a man of God, a man of integrity. And Cain was jealous of him, and he went and he took his life. These sons, these brothers, lived in the same home. One was a spiritual rebel. One served the Lord. And sometimes life is that way. So if your kids are away from the Lord, don't give up. You keep praying for them. You know, it's not over. And I worked in university ministry for a long time. And I'll tell you, I would talk to students every semester who grew up in the church, grew up in a strong Christian home, and they got to the university, and they went off into la-la land. And then a couple of years later, they're in my office saying, Ryan, I need to get my heart right with the Lord. I saw that over and over and over again. So if you're discouraged or worried about your children, know this, it's never too late for kids to change. And when you pour a solid foundation in your life, there is a great possibility, a great opportunity for them to come back, even if they get off the path somewhere along the way. Now, at the same time, I could tell you other kids that were in the ministry that I've been around, and you know these two, they grew up in the church, and they decided to kind of go do whatever, you know, and that's unfortunate, and that makes my heart sad today. Sometimes that happens. But as a parent, let's do everything that we can to equip kids to succeed spiritually. Let's help them hit the sweet spot. Let's do everything that we can do in our power to give them opportunities for spiritual growth and development, because the proverb is right. When we train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. And some of us in this room, I realize, are newer Christians. Maybe you didn't grow up with your parents talking to you about God, and maybe even going to church regularly was not something in your family. And some of us are trying to figure that out along the way. We're trying to give our kids something that we didn't have as a kid. And man, that's a challenge. But you know what? I know God's going to lead you. I know God's going to direct you, and I know God's going to use your life in a powerful, powerful way to build up those kids and to build up your family and to do the right thing. I want to give you guys some really, really good news today. Would you guys like some good news today? Everybody like to be encouraged? Okay, I'm going to give you some good news. We've had an amazing week here at the Edge Church, and it looks like the difficulties that we've been experiencing with our building project have now been resolved. Isn't that good? Yes. And so we're expecting to move into our new facility in the near future. We're going to be giving you more dates and information as that information is available to us. But all that to say, we feel great. We are so excited today to have the opportunity to move into that building very, very soon. And you know why I'm excited about it? Because moving into that building is going to give us an opportunity to encourage parents to raise godly kids. It's going to be a place of spiritual growth and development. It's going to be a place where people come to faith in Christ. It's going to be a place where families are going to be built up and established around the Word of God. And that's why we're so excited today about moving into that new building in the very, very near future, because God is opening an unprecedented door for us to move into the future and to really make a huge difference right here in our own community. And it is going to be so exciting to see what God is going to do. Well, I want to pray for you this morning, and I want to pray for you as a parent, and I want to lift you up. And I know all of our parents here today, man, you've got a huge responsibility and challenge today, and I know you need the Lord. You need the Lord in your life to lead you and direct you. Let's just bow our heads together and our hearts for just a moment. And while nobody's moving around, if you'd say, Ryan, I need wisdom from God. I need encouragement. I need hope as a parent. Would you just hold up your hand? I want to pray for you in this moment. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, in the back. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you in the front. Yeah, thank you. Thank you in the middle right over here. Yeah. Lord, I pray for every person that's just raised their hand, that God, you would fill hope and encouragement in our hearts, Lord, that we can instruct and challenge and train and love our kids in a way that would set an amazing foundation in their life, an amazing opportunity for them to grow up and to commit their lives to you and to follow you with their hearts and with their families and their children. And Lord, I pray that the leadership that's established in this room today that would lead to an amazing impact on generation after generation after generation in the families and in the lives that are represented here today in this room and in the future. We look forward to some great things, God. Give us hope, give us courage, and give us wisdom as we follow you. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you've never met this great God we've been talking about today. And this morning, you'd like to open your heart to Jesus Christ, as several people did at our 9 o'clock service. Today, you want to open your heart to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he died on a cross. He rose from the grave. And he did so because he loved you. And he wanted to be connected to you, wanted to have a relationship with you. And now by faith, the Bible says Jesus Christ will come into your heart and make you a brand new person. I wonder how many of us today in the stillness of this room would like to make that decision to invite Christ into your life. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment longer, would you just hold up your hand if you'd say, man, I want to invite Christ into my life. I want the Lord into my life. Yeah, thank you in the back. I see you. Yeah, thank you over here in the front. Somebody else. Yeah, over here on the side. Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you. Pray this prayer. Thank you right here. Pray this prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. And I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross and the resurrection in order that I can receive new life in you. And we pray this all in your wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.